Okay, now we're going to hear from Matt Nixon. He's going to give us a quick preview of the coastal marine data process.
Okay, I'm Matthew Nixon. I'm a senior planner with the Maine Coastal Program State Planning Office. This is the last presentation of the day, and I have lots of pretty pictures and a lot of color. So I figured we'd start off with a nice, uncomplicated diagram. I hope everyone can see this. Just kidding, Ed. So, main status of our coastal marine data collection. We really started collecting data back 2008, early on, as a result of a study called the Bay Management Study in Maine. And one of the recommendations is really to start collecting coastal marine spatial data and trying to figure out a way to organize it in a way that basically organize, standardize, and disseminate. And it just so happens, shortly after that process began, the governor issued his executive order issued the executive order establishing the Ocean Energy Task Force, which mentioned a couple of times here. The task force, in essence, halfway through, sponsored legislation called 1465. It's also called PL 270, Public Law 270 in Maine, that, among other things, established a siting process for demonstration sites for ocean energy within state waters. And all this has been mentioned. I just want to sort of cover some background for why we've done this data collection. So basically, the siting process, we collect the data for collections purposes for the bay management, for spatial analysis, and also for public review of data and critique of data. We took this stuff on the road for an entire summer, showing members of the public, fishermen, stakeholders, exactly what we had, what we were using in the siting process. So it was an exercise in marine spatial planning at a smaller level than what Massachusetts has done, more or less, and I hate to say marine spatial planning. More like participatory mapping with GIS data involved. Let's see. So then we had a number of partners in this. Most of the data that we have, state planning doesn't really create a lot of natural resource data. We do value-added products, but we got most of our raw information from Maine Offset GIS, a lot of federal agencies, state agencies, the University of Maine contributed, the Right Whale Consortium, and I'd also like to point out at this point that there are a number of other collection efforts going on in the state of Maine, too. One of the biggest things to remember about databases of these types are they are not exhaustive by any means. There's always going to be some sort of data somewhere that might be relevant to your project, and you're not going to be able to get your hands on it just because you just don't know that it exists. So there are a number of other efforts underway in the state. For instance, the University of Maine has a database for their purposes. The Gulf of Maine Census of Marine Life has collected a number of data layers and a number of other things for their project, which I just recently finished up. So basically, Kathleen had mentioned the Coastal Atlas, and I'd like to cover that briefly here. Some of the recommendations coming out of the final report of the Ocean Energy Task Force suggested that State Planning Office, Maine Coastal Program, create a Coastal Atlas. And this would be an online dissemination portal for all the data we collected during the siting process for our demonstration sites in So this would be all the information we collected for the demonstration siting process. And also, in addition, we'd have a couple of other components. There'd be a searchable research database, basically sort of a way for academics, other natural resource agencies, interested public to take a look at what type of work is being done in the state. In terms of, and we really didn't limit this to anything. This is basically any type of project in the coastal or marine environment that's going on right now to research. And we had an intern working on this this summer. And obviously this is a constantly updatable feature, but we thought it might be useful for collaboration purposes so people could look at it and say, oh, hey, John is doing this, maybe I can join him, maybe I can take some of his money, whatever, what happened. The Coastal Atlas itself, the primary component that we're really looking into developing, we actually have a meeting this Friday for design. We've been undergoing audience identification and outreach and tool design over the last 2 months with a contractor, which is just finished up, so we now have a set of principles and components that we're going to try and incorporate into the design of the map viewer. So what types of analyses the primary users would be using. It's going to be, if that makes sense. It's going to be going into this design meeting. We have four main categories of data. All the states categorize their stuff differently. Rhode Island has a nice little system. Massachusetts has a nice little system. What we have here, basically there's going to be four different types. This isn't set in stone yet, but this is sort of the way we kind of like to look at it. Geophysical conditions and habitat, fauna, human uses, alterations. By alterations, it sort of picks up where Mo was talking about bombs earlier. That's an alteration to the seabed floor if you have munitions dumped down there. And political boundaries, cultural, and socio issues, social issues. So, moving along here, geophysical conditions and habitat. Just a wide range. I'm going to try and cover just some of the topics of the things that we have collected in the coastal atlas at this point in time. Bathymetry, obviously, USGS, NOAA maintains some pretty significant bathymetry files. We recently put forth an estimate for Maine. By we, I mean many of the natural resource agencies, state planning offices, and governor's office, about how much. What are our key priorities in terms of what do we need for data? And the number one thing that always comes up is high-resolution multi-beam bathymetry, which is basically something like this, which was just taken last week off of Damaris Cove Island with some equipment that we purchased with the Department of Marine Resources. It's high-resolution bathymetry. It's a technology called OLEX, which isn't as high-res as some others, but it's certainly good enough for our purposes, and it's much better than what we have now. And we have a plan in place to be doing the other two demonstration sites, which I'll get into. There are three that exist. There's one down near Boone Island. This is near the Damaris Cove Ocean Energy Demonstration Site, and there's one off Mohegan, which the University of Maine is using, or going to be using. So that was our number one priority. Hopefully we'll have accomplished at least state waters in the next 4 to 5 years. The equipment is fairly easy to use, and obviously it yields a pretty neat result. So fathoms, technology depths, meaning, you know, what's the limit of certain types of technologies, you know, your typical monopole wind turbine, for instance, needs a certain amount of depth, otherwise, you know, just can't go in deeper amounts of water. U.S. Fish and Wildlife have high value habitat, National Renewable Energy Laboratory, wind estimates, all the good stuff. So, obviously my animations have not worked here. This is just some snapshots of our slides. This is a bathymetry slide. There we go. We also have some great network connections. The Nature Conservancy just recently released their North Atlantic Marine Ecoregion Assessment, NAMAERA. And they have some great slides in there, some great data layers that have been peer reviewed quite considerably. This is just one of their estimates about benthic habitat. And obviously it's not a definitive source, but it's a pretty good analysis with what they've done. Wind speeds, like I mentioned, if that animation had worked, you'd be able to see that. That's just basically monitoring stations, including the Go Moose system and some other land-based stations. So our next category, fauna. Rare, threatened, endangered coastal species. We have a pretty good handle on at least habitat. Marine mammals. One of the, I have stipulations listed here. One of the issues with a lot of fauna is obviously, if you saw, for whales for instance, if you saw a whale there in 1973, it doesn't mean that the whales are coming back or have been there since. It just means it was a sighting, it's opportunistic. So that's another reason for pre-construction monitoring. We have eagles, marine worms, insects, shellfish, and this little picture I have down here is sort of a density gradient done for cod, which I thought was pretty neat. Catch anyway. So this one worked. This is a marine mammal slide here. You have seabirds, obviously. You have to zoom in really close to see this stuff, and it sort of takes away from the majesty of the picture. This is shellfish, really exciting stuff. And zooplankton, this is another snapshot from TNC's NAMAERA, which is obviously a very broad and generalized aggregation, but it still gives you a pretty picture. And they do have quite a bit of information stacked into that data layer. Human uses alterations. This is, as Kathleen's saying, one of our big goals and one of the NGO's the main state NGO's biggest goal right now, at least related to the marine coastal environment. Some of the data that we do have, vessel monitoring system data, automated information system data, which is basically large tanker, cruise ship traffic, some fishing data. And I say some fishing data, during the demonstration sighting process, we went out and spoke to fishermen and asked them in a particular area what was the best place for an ocean energy device. And they responded. We got quite a bit of response to that. This little triangle down here is our damaged gold site. It's about half a mile long. So I say some fishing data in that you might be able to infer, you know, if this is a good spot for a wind turbine, it might be a bad spot for fishing. You may be able to make that connection. Coastal infrastructure, boating, shipping channels. Again, it's not exhaustive, and not all of it's useful for coastal and spatial planning. Some of the samples that we have from here, this is VMS data. We have some AIS data, which is the vessel traffic. You can see there's a lot of ships going into Portland. This is an example of our test site off Monhegan. This is basically we had seven planning areas up and down the coast. And this was one of the sites. It's a large area, probably about, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's pretty big. And the red is basically, we did an analysis of what the fishermen had ranked on their participatory map, and red is bad. Don't put a turbine here, green is good. And hence that's where the site went. One of the reasons where the site went. This is Boone Island, our Boone Island OED site, which is down south near York. Looks like a whale. Last category, political boundaries, cultural issues. We have a pretty good marine base map that the Department of Marine Resources put together. And that basically shows political boundaries, latitude, longitude, Sumbaran, even though I don't think that's running anymore. George? Turned off, right? Yeah, all right. National Historic Registry sites, maritime boundaries, Boehm lease blocks, parks, rivers, lakes, scenic views, LURC, DEP jurisdictions, State Planning Office maintains several different scenic inventories. For instance, here's that marine base map I was talking about. These are National Historic Registry sites in the state. This is our Washington Hancock Scenic Inventory, and these are just little buffers around state parks, just to sort of make a pop out. So like I said, additional partners, we've worked with TNC quite a bit, Census on Marine Life. We have 15 network GIS databases that will be going into the Coastal Atlas. So this will be a portal for not just our collection, but for other collections as well. We've been working, well, at least in our steering committee groups, there have been a number of folks involved. We do have close ties with other New England states. As Kathleen had indicated in her question, we are not the only state in the Gulf of Maine. There are several other states and Canadian provinces. So we make sure to foster and maintain those ties, especially with the geospatial experts in the other states as well. In the event that something new becomes available or there might be something we're missing, it's always good to have another set of eyes on what we're looking at. University of Maine, several other institutes of higher learning in the state. So that's about it. If you guys have any questions, pretty straightforward, cut and dry.